How's this? Great word, Chris. How's everyone doing? Oh, some people ditched and are getting lunch already, huh? See, that's not even right. Not that I judge others, but I'm going to go out there right now and take a quick look and see who's out there. Hey, it'll be a great day. Great day. We got some good things out there. I'm going to be talking about connection today. But funny, it's, you know, we're doing that conference on victory. I don't even know what that means. Because in my mindset, victory is a lot other than what I experience. It's, you know, because I have, like you, I have these vain imaginations of how God's going to operate and what victory would look like and what being success would look like and all this stuff. And then the reality of life hits. And what is that? What is that dichotomy? What's so weird about that? Is that the right word, dichotomy? It just came into my head, but I'm not sure if that's the proper term. Smart people, answer me. Okay. I know a number of people say, well, I'm smart then. Yeah. That's how my brain works. It'll say things, and then I have to say, what does that mean? And sometimes I have to say, where did that come from? But victory is weird for all of us because we come from a place of disconnection. We call this Connection Sunday because walking with God is all about reconnecting. You know, you and I were born, and I've shared this with you guys many a times, disconnected from God. Our relationship was broken. We're all born that way. We are also all born disconnected from ourselves. We are uncomfortable in our own skin. We don't know really who we are, what we're supposed to be, what life is supposed to be. And then we're disconnected from others. We struggle in relationship. We don't know how relationships should be. There's always this dynamic of disconnection going on. And then we're disconnected from our environment. We're disconnected from, what am I supposed to do here? What's my purpose in life? And we start chasing all these things. And our idea of victory or fixing is to consume. If I get God, when God comes into my life and I get connected to God, then God should be doing a bunch of stuff for me. In fact, His highest goal should be to make my life pleasant. I kind of think in those lines. Then I'm trying to be okay. There's a void in me. So if I get the right job, the right people, the right this, the right that, the right, then I'll be okay. And so we look at what that, we think connection is about receiving all the time. Then we have relationships. If I just got the right girl, just got the right guy. If she'd just be the right spouse. If the people at the work would just be the right people. If I had the right job, that would really take care of me. If I made enough money, it's a consuming thing again. So we, as a people, generally speaking, are always looking at how am I going to be okay by getting. God looks at us and sees us in a couple different ways. He sees all these people doing life, trying to connect, trying to be okay by getting everything they can, consuming it, and realizing that's not going to fix them. He gave us a couple of examples, Scripture gives, of God's perspective on humanity. First one is this, for God so loved the world, John 3:16, that He gave His one and only Son. He served, He gave. Different than how we do it, because when we give, we usually want to get something. He says, so that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. So one of the aspects of God looking at His creation is they're perishing. They're dying. They're struggling. They're losing out. And then in Luke 19:10, Luke is speaking of Jesus here, and he says, for the Son of Man, speaking of Jesus who has come, came to seek and save the lost. So they're perishing and they're lost. They don't know what they're doing. They're running around trying to find peace, joy, happiness, find something. But he says they're actually lost. They're running away from that. Thinking they're running toward it, they're lost. Because that's what lost people do. They keep moving, having no idea where home is. And generally speaking, they move farther away. They get more lost. God's perspective is all of humanity is moving in a direction of lostness, far away. And then in Matthew 9:36, Jesus is speaking here, and Matthew records, he says, when he saw the crowds, when he saw everybody, he had compassion on them. He had empathy for their situation. Why? Because they were harassed. You know what the word harassed means? Continually stressed. They were continually stressed out. So they're perishing. They're lost. They're continually stressed out. And he says this, and helpless. There was no aid available to help them. He says this, they are like sheep running around, lost, perishing, continually stressed out with no one to help them, with no shepherd. Jesus said, this is humanity's situation. This is what you and I are born into and live from the perspective of God. Because we can do like Chris said, we can think that these other people got it better going on. We judge people's insides by their outsides. We go, oh, they got this going on. They're better off. Why is God blessing them? Why? And you know, and these are God's kids saying these things. Wow, they're not going through this struggle. Why is God blessing them and not me? Why is this going on? And we all deal with that to some level. Then Jesus says this in John 10:10. He says, I have come. I saw the condition of man. I have come that they can have life. Because why? They're perishing and lost, continually stressed, running around with no aid, no help to get them together. He says, I have come so that they can have life and have it to the full. Have the fullness of what God designed for life. So what takes place? God comes into our lives and then something changes. And this is what Paul says takes place. He says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. He said, anyone that comes into Christ. Why? Because before that, we were outside of Christ. Christ has come to bring us from that place of running around, crazy, helpless, harassed, and he puts us in Christ. And he calls that a new creation. Something radically has changed. The thing that radically has changed is he has given us his Holy Spirit now, and we, for the first time, doesn't matter what age you are connected again with God. The first connection takes place, and it's because God did something in our life. It's called serving us. He came from heaven to serve man and to find him and to bring him home. And a number of things take place when that happens. So from God's perspective, you are a new creation. Jesus one time was talking to one of the religious leaders, and he said, listen, you must be born again. You must be born into the family of God, into the Spirit of God. So the first thing that takes place is we now belong. I am a child of God. My identity changes from someone that is not a child of God to someone, a new creation brought in to the family of God. Now you need to understand this because some of us understand it, some of us might not. You need to understand that this is the process of change that takes place in our lives. Now, when God speaks of family and being a child of God, use your mind to look at it in the natural realm. You weren't at one point in time, and then you were created, and you were brought into a family. Now, the problem is, because we're humans, that can vary in positives and negatives. We have a damaged family, all of us do, or lack of a family. We come in and we're immediately damaged. We do stuff that damages us, stuff's done that damages us, our experiences damages us. We're damaged. And so we relate in the natural world from that damage point. What we try to do is find the least damaged person we can so they can hang out with us and help us in our damage. And not knowing that all of us are amazingly adept at hiding our damage till we get close. That's why a lot of us don't want to get close. Because we know that how many of us don't want to get close because of our own damage? And then others of us don't want to be near people because of their damage. We've already been damaged. So God comes in, and this is the difference. When God takes you into his family, he operates from a place of total health. He is life. He is the fullness of life. He does not come in because he had broken childhood up in heaven. And now he's going to lay his brokenness on you, because that's the best he can do with what he's got. God deals with his family from a place of complete health, from a place of wholeness. And so when we come to know Jesus, we are brought in to his family, and a new creation starts in us. The parallel is to the natural. Just as you are born in the natural and you become into this creation, and now you are going to navigate in the homes you lived in, the upbringings you had, the circumstances, situations, school life, successes, failures, relationship, yada, yada, yada. It all impacts you. It all makes you who you are, and it gives you the perspectives you have on life. We now get born into the kingdom of God, and he begins to train us in the principles and ways of God. Just like you go to school in the natural, God sends you to school in the supernatural. His Holy Spirit begins the work of teaching and training. His word gives us the do's and the don'ts and the history of God. Just like you go to school in the natural to find out your history, the history of the country you've grown up in, the history of your family. You can do genealogical charts and all that kind of stuff. There's a lot of info you get. We begin to get it in the family of God. And the Holy Spirit's job is to indwell and to teach and to lead and to guide into all righteousness. And to deal with all the natural that you bring into this new creation from your life. And as Chris was saying, as you walk in this new way with God, you're also prone to get dirty again, are you not? I'm also prone to fall down, sin, disobey, be mean, go try to get my needs met again in different ways that used to work and now don't work, and I deal with that. And if I look at my failures, I can judge my position. But what we need to look at here is, it says here, it says somewhere in the Bible, take my word for this. Oh, I got the wrong page. Yeah, that's not exactly what I was going for. I jumped ahead of myself. I had a good point. It was amazing. You'd have loved it. Okay. Awkward moment. So what begins? I don't even know where to go from here. God help me. Story of my life. Okay. So we are brought into the family of God, which enables us to begin the process of growth. Then secondly, we inherit all the promises that scripture's talked about. And it says it this way: for no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. Now, here's the difficult part for you and I in this new creation. It's always to remember that you are in Christ. No matter what goes on, and that's why we sang that song earlier, I am a child of God. That is my position. I have to stay firm in that position when the stuff of life tries to take me out of that position. When I hear in my own head, Joe, you're not being good enough, you're not really a child of God. Joe, if you were truly a child of God, this wouldn't happen to you and you'd handle it much better. Joe, if you were really a child of God, by this point in your journey, you wouldn't drop F-bombs ever. And Joe, if you were truly anointed of God, your church would be this size. And on and on. We have this stuff going on in our heads, do we not? That's where we remain firm in Christ, and then we rely on the promises that God has given. Every promise. In fact, one of the studies you can do is the promises of God, so that you can hold on to that. That God, I hold on to, that God's going to work all things out for good, that for those who love Him and called to His purpose. My purpose was to be in Christ. That's what God's purpose was in my life. That's His initial purpose, is to call us into His family. I hold on to that promise, knowing that all things are going to work out for well when I don't think they have. When I know they, you know, there are parts that it don't feel like they worked out. But they will. He says, yes in Christ, and through the amen, which is means so be it, is spoken to us through the glory of God. Now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm. When you are being rocked, you don't even have the ability to stand firm in that. He has to give you that grace to stand firm. He anointed us, put His seal of ownership, sealed the envelope on us, and put His Spirit in our hearts as a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. Those are promises. He is going to get me home to the kingdom of God. My job is to stand firm in Christ and believe it. If I believe otherwise, if I believe my circumstances, my situations, all the other stuff that I think makes me okay, I am not going to be okay because stuff happens. And so I have to hold on to that. So once God brings us into His family, sets us into Jesus, creates in us this new creation, then He does something else. He adds us to His family. Once in relationship with Christ, we now are adopted into His family. We belong to the church. You belong to a new group of people. It is part of your new creation. We are called the called out ones, those who belong to God. John 1:12 tells us this: yet to all who did receive Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. Children. Not singular, children. We're all the children of God. We get that in Christ. I have a place to belong and a group to belong to. Now, in my old nature, that can mean a bunch of scary things. I don't want to belong with these people. How many have ever thought that? How many people have said, yeah, if you look around this room, you can look at people and go, you know, I never would have hung out with someone like that. That Kansas City jersey right there is just annoying me. But today, I love Juan. I love my brother. Today, I love some of you guys. Some of you guys. Did I say that out loud? Uh, The only ones I don't love, I don't know, okay? I wish I was quicker at making those, you know, foot and mouth, pull out foot, insert a clever saying. Yeah, the truth is, we get to love each other, and some among us are not that lovable. That's part of God's work in our lives. He starts to change us. He says, listen, children, these children are not born of natural descent. We wouldn't have chosen. All these children of God that you and I will come in contact with, not all, we wouldn't have chosen all those people. Somebody can name somebody that they wouldn't have chosen. We're not chosen these people, he said. And you weren't chosen by these people either. You weren't chosen by a human decision, nor by a father's will, nor a human decision of a husband's will. A mom and dad got together. He says, no. You were chosen by God. You were brought into the family of God by God. And all you had to do was receive it. Receive means to welcome someone in. So your job, and even the ability to welcome God, Christ, into your life is God's work. You can't do it. That's why oftentimes he's got to allow stuff to happen to bring us down the spiral to this bottom, whatever our bottom might be, to the place of saying, oh, Jesus, help me. Not realizing that there was a bunch of other stuff on that spiral. Then we say, because we usually identify one thing we want God to help us with. Oh, God, if you'll just get me out of this. Oh, God, if you'll just do this in my life. He goes, great starting point. We'll deal with that, and then we start to work up the spiral of all the stuff inside of you, because you're in me, and I want you whole. I want you to be whole. I want you to be able to minister like I do, out of wholeness. So that means my work in your life has to make you whole. There is a job I'm doing, and you know how that job's done? Through serving others. You cannot be mature in the faith without serving others. They're going to cause you to grow. In fact, if anybody's stagnant in here right now in their walk, you're feeling stagnant, sign up for something. Because you'll hit that growth curve hard. And it won't be long. So once he brings us in to his family, we have a job to do there. Paul clarifies it in 1 Corinthians, and we shared a little bit about it last week. He clarifies this bringing into this family of God, and you as a component of that. He does it in the form, in his thinking, of how the body works. Multiple different parts, but they have to work together. They have to participate together in order for the body to work well. He says this, just as a body, though one, just like you were brought into the family, we're one family, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body. So it is with Christ. We were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slaves or free, and we are all given one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. For now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. You have a function to play in the body. Now that will oftentimes go against our old creation. We go, we don't want to do that. And the greatest example of those people that wish everybody was a cat because they love cats. I don't like people. I like cats. I get it. What you're screaming super loud is, I have been hurt. Cats don't hurt me. They basically ignore me. Except when they want something. And I can deal with that. People have been like that in my life. I personally like fish. I do. I look at them. Don't have to interact. Throw them a little food. Keep the pH right in the water. And when they die, no attachment. In fact, the attachment is so little that when they're sick, that's good enough. She knows. Swimming funny? That's a problem for you. For $2, I can get another one. Yeah. So God has to change us. How does He do it? He has to teach us to serve others. Now, some of you right now are thinking, oh, God. I hate that, because then you got to give, and you got it all wrong. In our broken thinking, we think serving is for them. It's not. They get a little piece of it. It's for you. Serving changes you. It matures you. They get the benefit of that at some point in time. Yeah. Everybody gets caught. What? Talk about fish again. Listen, the key aspect that God wants to do once we're in His family and we're with His family is like any other upbringing of a child, is to grow you up. He wants to grow us up into maturity in the new creation we have been born into. That's the journey of God in your life. The main process He does is service, is teaching us to serve others, because it draws out all the stuff in us that needs to be dealt with. Listen, Jesus said this in John 14:12. He says, "Very truly I tell you." Whenever Jesus says "very truly," that means it's going to happen. I'm telling you the truth here. "I tell you, whoever believes in me," well, you've already had to do that to be into the Christ, so you're already positionally in Christ. So who's ever believed that, was brought into the family, received that, will do. I hate that when God ever says, "You will do this." Because we always think it's optional. Me and God talk about it. And if He comes around to my point of view, I'm all in. He goes, "You will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. I am going to the Father. I'm sending the Holy Spirit to indwell you. You're going to be part of the body. I am going to grow you up so that you can minister out of health like I do. And there's going to be so many of you, because I'm just one, and I put on the earth suit and I limited myself. But up in heaven, we are not going to be limited. I will work in each individual to bring you to maturity, to make you more capable of following me and being a blessing to others. And it's going to be work. Amen. And you don't even volunteer for it. So the hand can't say to the foot, foot's not worth it. He didn't volunteer to be the foot. I told you guys once about this pastor that was a big deal. He was a who's out there in the pastor land. And I read about him and super jealous. But, he was talking to God one day. Some of you know the story. He was talking to God one day about, "Oh God, I'm really important. And what part of the body am I, God? Am I a leg? Am I an arm? What am I? Am I an eye? What am I, God?" God spoke to him, "You're a hair." Be a good hair. Don't think more of yourself. Don't think less of yourself. Be glad you're in the body. Do the job. Find out. See, this is the thing. God has designed you for a purpose. That purpose begins to be formed as you serve, and as you serve, it begins to be directed into how God designed you. Just like in the natural, as our children go to school and learn the basics and move into high school and then move into college or into some trade or into some, as they mature, they begin to find out what it is that, what am I supposed to do? And a lot of times, because we're so damaged, we spend our whole life searching for what are we supposed to do. Because we think the doing is what fixes us. God says, no, no, no. In the doing, I change you. The doing doesn't change you. Doing it changes you. And does that make sense?
Yes.
Oh, okay. That's good. Because it didn't to me. So, what is the key in serving others? Well, James 1:4 tells us, let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. The context is trouble. But trouble usually has people involved. So you want to be mature? Persevere. Why? Everybody's a great starter. Everybody can start. We're all good starters. I've never met anybody that says, you know what? I'm an amazing finisher. I just never start. All of us start. And you know what? I've told you this too. I thought about going to the gym for 5 years. Before I ever actually went to the gym. And that's just one aspect of my life. I thought about what's wrong with me until like yesterday. And I said, well, you know what, I should probably work on something. But no, God's done a lot of work in me. I know, you can see it. But I'm on a roll, what am I doing? I don't know. But I'll tell you what, even today, going to the gym is a hassle. There have been many a times I'm dressed, I drive to the gym, pull in front of the gym, and remember, I got an important phone call to make at this moment, and I talk for 20 minutes, back out, and don't even go to the gym. Walk in the house, killed it. Have you guys ever done anything like that? No, anybody? Okay. So perseverance. What is the deal with perseverance? Well, let me tell you what persevering does to a person. Perseverance is needed to develop our maturity and make us people of our word. How? By completing a goal, finishing a project, doing what we said we would do. That matures you. People that are responsible have a sense of maturity. Today, when I tell you I'm going to do something, 99.8% of the time, I do it. Still working on it. I do it because that's what I'm supposed to. I didn't want to be here today. I can't tell you how many times since my daughter passed, I'm being gut level honest with you, that I think about retiring. But the responsibility to my family and bringing home paycheck hits me there. So I do what I have to do. You know, and so do you, because I have learned that. See, that ability right there at this stage of my walk took years to develop. I grew in that. I was a guy in this world, when I was in the natural world without attached to the Spirit, my word didn't mean a whole lot. It was not trustworthy. And so it had to grow and become trustworthy to where today I can have lots of thoughts. What does persevering do? It helps you fight negative thoughts. Before I give in to all those thoughts, what are the killers of goals? There's two main killers of goal. One is to quit. And the other is it gets inconvenient. Have you ever had any commitment in serving people that wasn't inconvenient? It may be convenient in the beginning because you're excited about it and you're zealous and you're super, oh, this is awesome. I get to do this. It don't take long till the zealousness wears off and the grind sets in. I don't feel like going today. I had a hard day at work. We have this idea that the hard day is a card we can throw out. Love to follow through on the commitment. Hard card. Escape from responsibility because it's hard. It's all hard. It's all hard. Perseverance teaches me to complete what I sign up for, what I agree to, which makes me mature in that area, which makes me a man who is able to be there when I say I'm going to be there. Another thing perseverance does is it teaches you to say no to certain things and say yes to others. In the old days, and some of us even in our walk with God, we say yes to everything, knowing full on well I ain't going to do it, but I look good. It looks like I'm a real servant. It looks like I'm really about this. Because we still got people-pleasing things in me or in us. We have this thing going on. We don't understand that perseverance does a lot of stuff for us. What else does it do? I will understand by perseverance what it takes to finish. I will understand the journey of starting something and finishing it and all the ins and outs and ups and downs and trials and tribulations. I will learn as I complete it. Now I have experience, which makes me more capable with a greater capacity to help others who are going through that same thing, who are trying to start something. That's all part of the deal. I cannot get that from going a little ways and then bailing out. To me, then, everything else is theory. Well, they say experience counts in maturity. How many of us, when we had babies, we knew all about raising children? How many of us thought that this would be? How many before you got married? And then you got into that committee, like, you knew what marriage is. You're not going to do it like your parents. How are you going to do it? We just love each other. We just love each other. Yeah, what does that mean? No, seriously, what's it mean? Listen, we learn how to win the battle against our pride. Persevering, you're going to have to deal with your pride. We're going to learn how to love the unlovable. You ever have anybody that's unlovable, but you still got to love them? Teenagers? Anybody? Yeah. Serving the ungrateful. Oh, we like to serve until they're ungrateful. Or you don't get enough accolades. I want to serve, but I'm expecting to be pat on the shoulder. I'm expecting to be this and this. And when I don't get it, now that's an issue to me. That's a pride stuff. Pride, man. Last night I couldn't sleep. My grandson, he's a sophomore and he's playing on the varsity, but he's been playing less because he's been making some mistakes because he's still learning and they've been taking him out. And it's like, hey, that kid over there makes the same mistakes and he's in the game. Now I got to deal with resentment. Come out here to have a good time. Watch my kid be a superstar. And it's not happening and you're to blame. Coach, you know what I think we ought to do? Go to a different school. Those are the thoughts that run in my head. I don't know if you guys ever have those thoughts. You know what I need? Different church. They'd appreciate me over there. You know, I need a different job. They're not appreciating me. This and this, different that. It teaches you how to stay in there and deal with your pride. I've been asking God all night, God, what is going on? You know, why am I so twisted up in this stuff? Why am I so twisted? And he said, it's your pride. You want to be able to brag on your grandson? He said, let me talk to the Holy Spirit. Apparently, we're not on the same page. I was looking for the coach ain't right type of answer. I was looking for some co-signing here. And you didn't help me at all. And then just when I fall asleep, the 5-year-old comes in. Papa, What? I'm thirsty. Seriously. It's like, are you kidding me? Okay. Because now I get the opportunity to serve. Die to myself. It's like, you know where cups are? You know where the water is? You know everything? What is your problem, dude? Yeah, and Teresa's sleeping with the 2-year-old because that guy's sick and coughing and, you know, everything's coming out. And it's like, I am a child of God, right? That's what I keep preaching about. Because sometimes it don't feel like it. You know, I'm God's favorite. What's his least like kid look like? These are the thoughts. See, I learn to battle the dialogue going on in here and stay firm. I'm sharing with you some inner thoughts and stuff that go on in my head. But I know the reason I can share it openly because I know you have them. And I know some of you aren't successful in winning them over. You're not successful in that battle. So I'm telling you today, stay firm. You can have the thoughts. You're going to have the thoughts. You're going to have the feelings. Feelings aren't necessarily facts. The fact is, God's in charge. God's got a plan. And I'm here for a season. Fact is, I want to finish well. Because my thoughts, like I shared with you guys a couple minutes of leaving, there's no God in that. That's Joe. What's Joe want to do? Wants to quit. Wants to escape. I want to get away. Why? Because I'm brokenhearted. I'm in pain. I'm sad. And I'm busy. And I'm tired. Today, the kids get up. I'm up at 6, 5:45. They come strolling downstairs, you know, and Therese comes down. Therese, how did you sleep last night? Up since 2. Now I got to, yeah, but now we got to feed the baby. Change the diaper. You don't want his diaper changed. It's like, dude, it's down to here with pee. What's your problem? You know, and, you know, on and on. And but that's just today. Tomorrow's school. That's my life. You get your life. My job, stay firm. And this is what happened. It changes you. Now doing that kind of stuff, I struggle in here with it, but I embrace it. This is my job. This is what I got to do. This is the cards that are handed to me. I deal with them. You need to deal with yours. You need to finish the task that God has you in and finish it well. If you're married, do it well. If you don't know how to do it well, get help. If you need to get out because it's craziness, get out. I'm not an advocate of divorce, but sometimes it's necessary. Sometimes we need to do things that we in our head don't think, whatever we don't think. And you know what the bottom line is? This is what's going to happen. You will learn that you can be stretched beyond what you thought you could. You will learn how to accomplish a goal and succeed in things that you didn't think you could do. You will learn that you can fail and not condemn yourself. You will learn that failure is part of the journey. You will experience the Spirit's power in serving others in a way you've never known outside of that. How many of you have spoken to a person and you're just amazed at what's coming out of your mouth? This is some good stuff. I should apply this. That's the Holy Spirit's power working in you. That's something. And the only way that happens is in ministering to someone. And allow and being able to navigate well what you have. And you'll also experience the enemy's attacks and you'll learn his ways. And you'll see how his methodologies to try to throw you off. You will experience more adventure. You'll overcome more challenges. You will realize in serving others that no matter how much you have learned, there is much more to learn. You don't have it all wired. You will know the reality that whatever terrain you are traversing at this moment, you will make it through. And when it looks like the end of the road, it's a bend in the road. And that there is always farther to go, more to grow, and better to come. And most importantly, you will arrive in the kingdom having accomplished what God wanted to in your life, and your ability to touch and help people will grow as you persevere. And you know why? You will grow in the ability to persevere and help people. You know how you will help them? Galatians 5:22. Galatians 5:22 says this, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. You will learn how to love. By persevering in loving, you learn how to love. So you can do it in a way that's healthy. You will not only learn that, you will learn joy and peace. You will have a deep thing inside of you that no matter how much your world is shaken, you're still standing firm in Christ. You're still standing on the rock. And the grace of God, and this is what I have found, even when I want to jump off the rock, I'm cemented to it. I can't do it. I want to, but I can't. I am firmly, as the scripture says, firmly rooted. When the seed comes and it's watered and it's nurtured, the roots grow deep. And so when the outside of the plant is cut, and the winds and the rains and all the things that faces, the roots hold when the top can't. And I found that to be true. And so now, by my own experience, that I can help someone else and say, yeah, you can hang on. You can go through everything that the wind puts on you. Stay firm. God's got you. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. He has promised it, and I stand on that promise because it's yes and amen in Christ. When I can't stand anymore, He holds me. Here's my prayer, and I've been telling, I think I've shared this with you. My prayer is simply this: God, help me. I got no other prayer. Yeah, I'll pray for people, and I'll do this and that, but I got no deep prayers with God. Driving in this morning, God, help me. God, help me. And I count on Him to help me. I have no other prayer. I got nothing. We had a breakthrough. You know, we've been going to family therapy, and this week we had a breakthrough. They had us do a heart. The guy had a sheet of paper, and it had a big old heart on it. And then on the side, it had little squares that you would color with crayon, different colors all the way down. And then there was a list of feelings: sad, happy, frustrated, angry, scared, guilty, and all these feelings. And then they had each one of us color it in where we were at in our heart. In our hearts. And you know, I had around the outside, I had the color that was happy, but I had these big, two big sad parts, very heartbroken, really. And we all did. The kids did theirs last week. The 5-year-old, he only had two emotions, happy and sad, like a lot of adults I know. What are you feeling? Happy, sad, you know. But the 8-year-old, he had a bunch of them. And I had broken heart. Teresa's heart was broken. And the 5-year-old kept going, so yeah, your heart's like this. Your heart's like this, broken. And it's like, yeah, that's what my heart is. It's broken. And then in mine, I had obviously the two big scars. And I had around my broken big cracks in my heart. I had around my heart anger, the color anger, because I couldn't help them. I'm angry that I couldn't do something. Then I had guilt. Because I feel guilty that I couldn't do anything to stop it. And my son or my daughter. And there was, you know. But the cool thing was the 8-year-old totally resonated with it. And he started talking about his feelings. And I feel just like that, and I feel like that. And then I had in mine, scared. Because I'm scared I won't live long enough to be able to raise these kids. I don't know. There's a little part of me that's scared about that. That I don't know how long I'll live. And, you know, what's going to happen then? And how's that going to work? And so there is all these feelings. And the beautiful part was we got closer. And the 8-year-old the 5-year-old hid under the desk and didn't want to kind of deal with it. And he's 5, so it's, you know. But the 8-year-old, he was just in the midst and talking about his feelings. And there's been a change in him and us. And we all, and all of us, don't cry. Therese said she's afraid she doesn't want to cry because she doesn't think she can stop. I'm afraid to be weak. I feel like I got responsibility. I don't want to be weak, so I don't want to cry. I water up a lot, but I don't want to cry. And Ryland says the crying hurts too much. So now we got to do something on crying. You know. Oh, I got to persevere through this? Why don't we not and say we did? Okay, I'll cry. Wah. Like for reals? So there's forbearance and there's kindness and there's goodness. And see, these things come out of us. I don't want to go to therapy. I don't want to have to, but I have to persevere in that so that we can get better. And you have to persevere in some things that you don't want to deal with so you can get better. You know, and so we can be better. And I can help that little guy get healthy so that he can not carry all that. He's always going to carry that loss. We were telling him yesterday, you know, you need to be a big brother because the family is kind of separated. The boys, they're in their own little worlds of hurt. But we see the oldest one connecting with the youngest one. And Therese was telling him, you're going to tell him about his mom because he's not going to remember. So you need to be the one to tell him about his mom and what it was like for you and him and your brother growing up. And they get to process that. See, but now the reason I'm telling you this is, one, I want you to know that you're in the journey too. And this is our journey at this point, part of our journey. But we're going to persevere in this. We're not going to bail on it till we get all we can get to navigate this thing. Well, why? Because I've learned that persevering is the doorway to health, is the doorway to maturity. I can't tell you how many people come in for marriage counseling once. Because it usually takes 2 or 3 times to start getting to roots. People don't want to deal with that. They might not be ready at that point. I get it. They got to do what they got to do. But it's never going to miraculously get better. I've prayed and prayed and prayed for my marriage. Well, what have you done? I've prayed and prayed for, you know, God to open up doors for me. What doors have you walked through that God is showing you? It's the persevering. Don't over-spiritualize everything. The Spirit of God is going to take you. You will do greater works. But the key word there is works. There's something, the do part. I don't know how to have a relationship. What have you done? I don't want to serve, man. People bother me. That's a you problem. You need to look at that. What is it about them? Well, they remind me of this, this, and this. Then you need to deal with that, that, and that. And you can. Why? Because I've had to. And as I've gone through it, I understand where you're at. But if you do this, 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 and this, and this, and that, and this, this, you'll get to a place where that is a past. It is not in your face present every moment. Okay, then. Let's, if you guys would have said that 20 minutes ago, we could have ended a lot sooner. Okay, here's what we're going to do. We have lunch for you guys. There's connection. If you don't serve, most of the serving here at the church, that's how you're going to mature at a certain level. There is a maturing in the kingdom of God that needs to take place, just as there is a maturing in the natural world that has to take place. You can't mature in the kingdom of God if you never do anything in the kingdom of God. Does that make sense? And most of the stuff we ever ask you to do here is one time a month. We understand you need to be in church. We understand you have a busy life. I get it. So we're not, you got to be here every service that we're doing, you know. We're asking you to do stuff once in a while to get in the mix so that your giftings can become manifest. If you haven't, some of you do it already. Your giftings become manifest. You're blessing to others, but mainly you're going to have to deal with you. And that's a beautiful thing. Amen? Amen. Can I pray for you guys? Lord God, make us a blessing. Amen. Go have something to eat and sign up for something.